Friends, please pray with me. Loving God, may the meditation of my heart and the word read, proclaimed, our songs sung, our prayers prayed, restore us, renew us, make us new in you. Amen. So this passage that I read, it's a very difficult one. It is in our lectionary. It came up this week, and I said, oh, this is one where you don't want to do it. This is one you want to let this cup pass from me. And so I thought about it. I said, I would never use this text when I do children's chapel, K through 5. This would not be the one. I would not do it at junior high chapel or preschool chapel. It's one that people often, we try and wiggle around it. And for good reason. And as I mentioned, it opens a few sentences earlier on the Beatitudes, which is, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek. It's this joyous passage. It invites everyone into this story of what Jesus is talking about. And then within a few sentences, he gets to this. And so there's a few themes that he's talking about. And these are the themes of the day to who he's talking to. And so he has one about reconciliation, anger. He has another one. It's about adultery. He has another one about divorce. He has another one, which is swearing. So he's talking about these four themes of the day. And this has been a text that has been misused, misapplied. It's been used in abusive ways to keep often women in abusive relationships. So if this has happened to you, I'm very sorry that this has happened. But that's not what this text is about. In fact, when you get through all the uncomfortableness of it, it has something really powerful to say. And what is wonderful about Scripture is you get the chance to struggle with it. It isn't neat and tidy and perfect and simple. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it isn't. And this is the one of these passages where you get to be confused by it and struggle with it and be shocked by it. Because if all of us watch Netflix, and we like to Netflix binge watch, most of the shows have all of these themes in it. And they're really fun and delicious. And they're enjoyable. But yet here it comes, and it makes us awkward because we have identifications with all of these themes in some capacity of our life. And so we are trying to figure it out. But when he initially talks about reconciliation, he is expanding the laws of Judaism here because he's remembering the Old Testament. So Sayumi's reading from Deuteronomy, which is the Old Testament. And so Jesus said, you've heard it said, Old Testament, about murder. So I can safely say, I have not murdered anyone to this point in my life. All right? I can stand very firmly, I have not murdered anyone so far in my life. And Jesus saying, hey, that's great. Good for you. But that isn't enough. And now he takes it and expands it off of that law and says, now it's about anger. Okay, that does apply to me now. Have I been angry? Has it hurt me being angry? Yeah. Have I held on to it? Yes. Has it hurt other relationships in my life, my anger? Yeah, it has. Was I unwilling to let go? Yes. Did it burn inside me? It did. I'm sure some of this can happen to you. I'm sure you can identify with anger and the need for reconciliation. Michelle and I were driving around yesterday, and we were listening to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on KQED. How many know Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me? All right. So we're listening to Wait, Wait, and that. So that is it's a current event radio show, and it's hilarious. And so it was Peter Seigel does a report and says the oldest living man is Japanese, and he is 10 years old. And so the oldest living man said his secret to living so long was that he's never been angry in his life. And then the host says, see, that's impossible for the rest of us. Because if we're on a telephone call with Comcast for more than 1 minute, we have lost it. And so, but anger, it's about reconciliation. So seeking reconciliation in our life. So he's taking, it's not murder, it's holding on to anger. And when we hold on to anger, we hurt ourselves. We hurt the ones around us. We hurt our communities. So Jesus is looking at the fabric of what holds community together in the first century. And so these four themes that he's named about reconciliation, about adultery, about divorce, and about swearing. They're these fabrics that hold those communities of that time together. So when he gets to the part about adultery, and as I said, these are parts where you struggle. But what is fascinating about this is that it changes the focus. The focus has often been on women. And the shift will go to women. Women as a temptress. And that has been how it's been applied. Jesus has shifted it back now onto men and made men responsible for it. This is very liberating news. So when he talks about adultery, it isn't having relations with someone that's different than who you're married to. He says it's about having lust in your heart. So that means a woman can't be treated as an object. Thus says the Lord. That's a huge seismic shift that Jesus is saying. This is big news. Many of you are old enough to remember when Governor Carter was running for president in 1976. And he said that, interviewed for Playboy magazine. And this came up and he talked about this passage and about having lust in his heart. And I saw an interview with President Carter years later. And he says, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. But the next... But the very next day, my campaign train came into a stop, and all the reporters were lined up on the trains, on the platform, all reading Playboy magazine. You know, so I thought, what has happened here? And so President Carter had properly understood this passage about lust, and so it's liberating for women. It changes the role and says it's about men. Men need to take responsibility for their thoughts, for their actions. And even the part about divorce is also taking the same kind of vein. And so it's shifting that we can't do what has been applied, which is always make it about the woman. Oh, no, 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 men. No, you have a responsibility here. So this is good news that he's talking about. But what's underneath all of these? It's the fabric that holds society together. And that's Jesus is speaking to these fabrics that hold a community, hold an individual together. And when we tear down those fabrics, we erode. And we can't live into the kingdom of God. So God has created the kingdom. And we are to believe and then see into the kingdom. When we have these other elements in our society, they're breaking us down, then we're not able to live and actualize the kingdom of God. So what are the areas in our life today that hold society together, hold our values together, that are being eroded? Last night at our Saturday service, it's a smaller group, so we just started doing kind of a shout out of the things that we are important in society that are being eroded. And so we talked about how social media is used and misused for a variety of different reasons. We talked about the tone of our politics and how it's used and misused. We named a few others in society that are very important because they hold the fabric of our life together. And when they're being eroded, it erodes us individually. And when we erode, we're not able to live into the kingdom. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He used these themes of the day. And I mentioned at the beginning, but I'll just mention again, it's often been used, the part on adultery and divorce, has shifted the gaze onto women, make it about women. It's taken divorce, it's taken adultery, and put it on this throne of sin that is unforgivable. And that's not what this passage is about. And that's not what Jesus is talking about. But that is how it's been used and misused and abused for centuries. And the church has contributed to it. But Jesus is talking about this, and it is liberating. And it's liberating because he keeps saying, you've heard it said, Old Testament, and now today. It's a new message. And that message, that's why it's, read it again when you go home. Take your celebrate insert, reread these passages. They're very legalistic because that's what he's talking about. And so reread them again and be challenged by them. And this is what's wonderful ultimately about Scripture is sometimes it's uncomfortable. It's challenging. It's confusing. Makes your head scratch. You try and figure it out. You have to wrestle with it. And that is the good part about our faith. And when we wrestle with it, that's how we grow. That's how we have a mature faith. My friends, this is good news. And ultimately what's underneath all of this is about God's grace. That through all of these fabrics of our life, and even as they erode, there's a gracefulness in God that is at work. And we can love and trust and live into that. And for the things in our life today, these fabrics of our life and our society that are important, yet they're being eroded, we can continue to trust and live into. What was written in our prayer, our assurance of grace and forgiveness, about cruelty and vindictiveness and gracelessness, and these other qualities in our humanity that are on full display in our country today. All of those qualities, and yet at the end of the day, it's Christ's love, Christ's grace will always win the day. My friends, this is good news. This is good news for all of us. May it be so for each of you, and also very much for me. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent prayer.